your father had a cotton
gin? He ran a cotton gin at Tuskegee from 1925. I think he didn't run it the first year. I was not old enough to know that firsthand, but he told me later. I think that he had 1 year he ran just the store, and then he ran the cotton gin and at least the acreage that Kit Walker had. But he also then bought in, maybe 1929 or 30, a cotton gin at Newby and ran that cotton gin. And actually in the 50s, my father was quite enterprising. He bought a clothes gin in Bristow. Cotton was going out because of the boll weevil and the drought. Although cotton stands dry weather very well, still, if you don't have any water at all, you don't have any cotton. And it was too dry to have good crops. But he actually took parts from the gins that he owned, the one at Newby particularly, and the one in Bristow that he had bought, and built a gin at Plainview, Texas. Now, he would have been in his 60s at the time, and he regretted having done it because the gin at Finney Switch near Plainview, Texas, in the panhandle where they raised an awful lot of irrigated cotton, ran 24 hours a day, and he was looking after it. So it wore him out, and he was happy after a few years that he sold it. But he was a cotton man, yes.
Tell us what a cotton gin did.
A cotton gin separates the lint from the seed. Both are valuable. The lint, of course, makes clothing and all kinds of cotton products. The seed itself, cotton seed oil, is an oil that's useful for numerous things. The cotton seed meal, the remnant of it, is a good cattle feed. They're byproducts of the cotton business.
Let's follow you after high school. You graduated in 1939.
Yes.
Then what do you do?
I went to Oklahoma A&M College. I'd played in the band and enjoyed it and thought that I might be a good enough musician to be a band director. After 1 year, I realized that I had a little talent for it, but I lacked neither the ability nor the interest to really be a good band director, so I changed to pre-law the second year. I don't have any idea whether I would have been a good lawyer, but at least I was taking pre-law courses for 1 year, and then the war came along. Well, the draft came along first, and I was not interested in being drafted. I have an impression of several of us that if we were in an essential occupation, we would not be drafted. And, of course, if I'd been drafted in those days, A&M was an infantry school, and I wasn't interested in being in the infantry. At the end of my second year, even though I'd been very successful, I was president of Phi Eta Sigma, the freshman honorary fraternity. I was a good student and actually had been elected Blue Key as a sophomore, which is quite unusual, but I was unwise enough and imprudent enough and young enough and immature enough that I decided to take a course at Spartan School of Aeronautics in weather forecasting because we thought that would be essential and save us from the draft. There were several Tulsa boys who did the same thing. I spent less than a year because the war started in December, and they closed the school, and we all got, I say all, most of us, I got jobs with the civil service to teach weather forecasting to cadets, which I did for almost a year.
J. Paul Getty owned the Spartan School.
That's an interesting development. He had not intentionally bought either Skelly Oil Company or Spartan, but he was interested in obtaining control of Tidewater Oil Company. And when one of the Rockefeller heirs sold his interest in Mission Corporation, which was a holding company that owned a big block of Tidewater stock, he bought it. What he didn't know until later was Mission also owned 58% of Skelly Oil Company, which meant that he was W.G. Skelly's boss. W.G. Skelly had to mortgage that, pledge that stock to keep Skelly Oil Company alive, and he couldn't pay it in the mid-30s. So Mission, being the Rockefellers and not known for their generosity, when it came to business affairs, they foreclosed on it and owned 58% of it. Mission Corporation was the holding company they put the stock in. And therefore, Getty ended up with the control of Skelly Oil Company, but Bill Skelly was running it. They had not been closest of friends. They were competitors back in the teens. But they kept that position because it was mutual advantage to the two of them. Skelly wanted to run the company. could run the company and did well. Getty was interested in having the company be worth something, of course. So Skelly maintained the operation as long as he was alive to their mutual benefit. Most people don't realize that Getty really did own Skelly. But Skelly Oil Company, Bill Skelly was a real citizen and innovative in an old way, too. He was interested in aircraft, and he owned both Spartan Aeronautics and Spartan School of Aeronautics, where I was going to school in 41, mid-41. Getty wanted to shoot Germans and Japs. He volunteered to help in the war effort, and they laughed at him. He was too old for one thing and too rich for another. He wouldn't have been affected whatsoever. But what the administration said, if you really want to help in the war effort, would you please go to Tulsa, where you own essentially the control of Spartan Aeronautics, which manufactures primary training planes. Go there and straighten it out. They are not operated well, and we get planes that are not really up to snuff. It needs to be improved. Getty came to Tulsa and built himself a bombing shelter out here on North Sheridan someplace that's still there. But he also did straighten it out and lived at the Sophian Plaza at the time, which was the place to live in Tulsa in the mid-30s.
Didn't they say he also lived at the Mayo Hotel?
He well could have.
Yeah.
I just know that he did live at times, at least at Sophian. I stumbled across my certificate of graduation from Spartan School of Aeronautics about 10 years ago. I don't know that I could find it now, but I was astounded to see that not only was that certificate signed by Maxwell Balfour, who was the director of the ground school, the Spartan School of Aeronautics, but co-signed in blue ink by somebody I had never heard of when I was in school. J. Paul Getty signed my certificate, and if I could find it, I'm sure it'd be worth something to somebody, not that I'd sell it, but I'm just simply saying that I'd never had any idea who J. Paul Getty was when they signed it. I just knew that I wanted that certificate to get out, and did, and I was astounded to see he was active enough in the management of it that he signed our certificates.
That's interesting that Bill Skelly, as big as he was in this town, was actually working for J. Paul Getty.
That's indeed true, yes. And I've read at least two, and I think three, biographies, including his autobiography, about J. Paul Getty. And in the story of Skelly Oil Company, which was written in the last 10 or 15 years, I have that too, and I've forgotten the name of it. They brush over a great deal that do point out that Skelly did end up in the Getty empire, if you want to call it that.
Right. So in time then, did Getty own it till his death, or how did that work out eventually?
Well, Getty controlled it. He never owned all of Mission Corporation. He just wanted 51% so that he would have the control of it. Mission didn't own all of Skelly Oil Company. They only, as far as I know, only owned the 58%. But control of Mission gave him control of Skelly Oil Company. And, of course, by that time, for all I know, Bill Skelly had bought some stock on his own. But I know the controlling stock did go to Mission, which ended up being controlled by Getty, who eventually bundled it all together into what became Getty Oil Company.
All right. You didn't see J. Paul Getty.
No. If I did, I wouldn't have known it. I'm talking about in 1941.
Bill Skelly, did you ever see him? Were you ever around him?
No, I don't think so.